Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through to 29. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put there for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, when I come to see you, or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you will stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him.
Good evening, everybody. How are we? Good. I am going to resist the temptation to imitate Pat Jones' favourite preacher, Judah Smith, and pray for my favourite football team who are playing right now. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not even going to ask you who you sing for. But what I am going to do is talk to you a little bit about the different approaches different households and different generations take to instructing their kids about competition. Now, as I grew up, my family instructed me on competition and how to approach sport, and it looked something like this, I hope.
Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentation of their women.
Thank you, Arnold. Arnold reprising a little bit of Conan the Barbarian. My family taught me when you compete, when you go into sport, you play to win. Now, I've chosen a different route with my children because I've sort of seen that the mentality of you play to win and the reason you're there to win has some chain reactions that go with it. When you approach sport or competition with the it's all about winning, some of the outcomes from placing that as your highest good are things like, you know, the crazy parents on the sideline. They're normally very nice people who make good decisions, but often because they are bound and chained to this concept that it's all about winning, a chain reaction takes place. When they get on the sideline, they just lose their business and go wild. The other hard thing about this, the chain reaction, if you will, is when it's all about winning, when you lose, there's just not much to celebrate. Shake hands with the other team. Oh, shake hands with the other team. There's nothing in it for you. Take the chain reaction the whole way, and sometimes it can lead to stuff like performance-enhancing drugs, which, if you believe the media, is the worst thing a human being can do. It's not a good thing, but, gee, it gets dark sometimes. I've met some people in my time in cycling, in my time in bodybuilding, who have taken performance-enhancing drugs. They didn't wear a big black hat. They didn't dress in black all the time. They didn't bash people up for fun. They didn't rob stores. Some of them were very nice, agreeable people. But they're chained to a concept. When you compete, it's about winning. And despite all the other great things about their personality, sometimes that led to a chain reaction where if there was a do this or don't do it to win, well, you got to do it. And so I don't teach my kids that. I teach my kids a fresher concept, which is, it's not about whether you win or lose, it's about trying your best. Because if they try their best, I see this having a chain reaction where their character grows. Even on a day where you don't feel so good, where it just doesn't happen for you, where the other team is better, you can still try your best. And you can take that attitude into all parts of life. If I teach them that the highest good, the best thing, is trying their best, the chain reaction is, or hopefully will be, that I develop little humans who are more than sports people, they're disciples, who grow to try their best in all things. And when they lose, they can still celebrate that they tried their best. They can respect their opponent in giving their opponent the best competition that they can give them on the day. It's a concept filled with good chain reactions. But I'm still wrestling because what you're chained to often means you have to stop being chained to something else. And I'm still wrestling with what my parents taught me, and my big brother should be named in that too. So my daughter Mia comes home the other day, and I think we're talking about the school swimming carnival or something like that, or some sport, and Mia says to me, "Dad, it's not about whether you win or lose, it's about whether you have fun." And I said, "Mia, that's wrong." Rachel looks at me with that, "Shane, you've gone in too hard," look she gives me sometimes. And if you keep going in too hard, I might start going in hard. "Okay, hon, noted." So I bent down to my little girl and I said, "Hon, sport is not about just whether you have fun. It's about crushing your enemies, seeing them driven before you, and hearing the lamentations of their women." I didn't do that. I explained to her what you know I explained to her. My reason for the reaction is what Mia was talking about, I suspect, comes from something that our society is very much bolted to, very much chained to, very much sees as our highest good, and that is pleasure. And I didn't want my little girl to approach sport from it's all about having fun. Because sometimes sport's not. I hope she does have fun. I hope every sports person has fun. But I remember some of my most, not fun, but satisfying times in sport have been, I remember one in Canberra riding a bike race, and at the end of it, I must have come close to last. At the end, I was lying on the road and the next race was about to come through and run over the top of me, but I couldn't walk and they had to carry me away. But man, that was satisfying. Didn't win, didn't have fun, but buried myself to the end and knew that I'd given all I had to give on the day. It's just better than fun. See, whatever you bolt yourself to or chain yourself to, consider the highest good produces a chain reaction. It leads you to respond and act in a given way. As Paul speaks to the Philippians in this prison letter and speaks to us tonight, he wants us to be very much aware of a chain reaction. Verses 12 and 13, he says, "Now I want you to know." Him saying, "I want you to know," suggests to me that we've got to look at this verse. "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ." Paul wants us, wants the Philippians to be very much aware of a chain reaction. The chain reaction, the thing that he celebrates, the end result for him, the end result that he's going to keep celebrating throughout the whole book of Philippians, and I pray that we will celebrate in all things, is the advance of the gospel. He's like, "Man, I want you to know that because of this stuff, more people have heard, but not just more people have heard, people, including myself, have heard, listened, comprehended, and taken in this good news of Jesus and how it changes everything on a more profound level. I want you to know about the chain reaction from all of this wacky stuff that's going on, and that is that the good news about Jesus is going out in Philippi, and it's going in Philippi. It's changing people. But as he continues in verse 13, he explains to us that we shouldn't just be aware of the chain reaction, we should be aware of the chains. See, in verse 13, he says, everyone's realized why I'm here. And there's a bit of a metaphor going on that we could easily lose, but I'm not going to let us. I'm chained to it. He wants us to understand that his chains are a physical representation of a spiritual reality. This is a man who is chained to Christ. My chains demonstrate to all with eyes that I'm united with Christ. The very thing we talked about 2 weeks ago that would run through this whole book. He is a servant of Christ Jesus and a saint in Christ Jesus. He is united with God. And through this series, as we talk about when we partner with God, the very basis of that partnership with God is our union, our chaining to Jesus. Being chained to Christ, which brings about chain reactions. Says, my chains make it clear what, or better, who I'm chained to. And here's the thing, friends. Whatever you are chained to, whatever is that thing that you are most united to, or that person, that thing that is just most you, your highest good, whether it's winning in sport, doing your best in sport, or just having fun. I mean, it just brings out the worst in me. I'm trying to make a change, and anyway. What you are chained to, what you consider the highest good, will always cause a chain reaction in you and a chain reaction in others. Let me show you why I say that. Paul's writing a prison letter, right? Here is the chain reaction in him. He is writing from prison. Now, if we had more time, I'd get everyone to do a little draft. What would you write if you were in prison? I gave a little brainstorm to myself, and I went, if I was in prison writing to you, I'd write stuff like, the food here is great. I don't have to prepare it. So good. Every time they like ring a siren or whatever, and we go down, the food's there. Because I'm chained to, I hate food prep. I would write to you and say stuff like, yeah, the food is really good. And you know what? Every day I get to work out. It's so good. They got a gym here. I don't even have to worry about the time of getting up early, getting to work. I just go to the gym. I'd probably critique the equipment they have and stuff like that because I'm chained that way. I'd probably whinge about the bed, like my wife's not in it. I'm united with her. When I started whinging, I'd probably whinge about justice. How is it that I'm even in this prison? Justice system, you know, should have had a better lawyer, all that sort of thing. Chained to my own desire that I would not be in jail, because of course I'm innocent, falsely accused. And I want justice. I want you to know those things. That would be my chain reaction. Paul's chain reaction from verse 12 is different. I want you to know, in this prison letter I write to you, the thing I want you to be focusing on is that the gospel has advanced. If that's not a chain reaction, I don't know what is. This guy is in prison, and the thing I want you to know, he says, is that the gospel of Jesus, the one with whom I am united, my highest good, my first relationship, leads me to rejoice and call you to rejoice, that the good news of him has gone out further and gone in deeper. Because your chains will always cause a chain reaction in you. Your chains will also cause a chain reaction in others. Verse 14, he goes on and says, because of my chains, because of the evidence of my union with Christ, because he is my highest good, and all can see that because I would surrender my freedom, break those chains to be a part of these chains, most of the brothers and sisters in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. I love the way conviction is contagious. I've never been around a person of deep conviction, a person who is deeply chained to Jesus and walked away going, oh, they're crazy. I always just want to go with them. Their chains cause a chain reaction in me, just as Paul's chains caused a chain reaction in those at Philippi. Even those who are not yet believers, all of the palace guard have become aware of what this dude is about. His chains, his commitment to Jesus, means that others have raised their commitment to Jesus, and others who are not yet committed to Jesus at least are hearing and seeing more clearly a witness about Jesus. And no disciple of Jesus was ever called to convert anybody. The disciples of Jesus were called to be witnesses. And so ain't that awesome? Again, it's not about whether you win or lose. It's about being a good witness. And Paul is doing that. His chains cause a chain reaction. What you are chained to will always cause a chain reaction in you and in others. Let me try and demonstrate this for you in our life. Sometimes Christians, chained to Christ Jesus, can still find themselves fairly heavily chained and shackled and bonded to a great high good called money. And maybe you might have other reasons, but I encourage you to examine yourself. Have you ever heard, make sure if guests come to church, don't talk about money? Well, that's funny, because I thought Jesus was Lord of all, including money. And is it just maybe, that my own chains to my bank accounts, my own supreme or almost supreme good of money, is being projected upon others? And I'm thinking, don't talk about money, because I might have to change. If they're anything like me, they might have to change. And I don't want that to happen. I really just want them to be here. Again, what are you chained to? Are you chained to filling your church? Or are you chained to Jesus being proclaimed, chains being broken to idols, and people being genuinely, through repentance, forgiven and united with Christ? Or would you rather a room full of people encumbered? Sometimes when we're still chained to money, we really struggle with anyone bringing the gospel to bear on anyone being chained to money and Jesus' lordship over it. When you're chained to yourself, when you are your highest good, your freedom, your choice, all of that sort of stuff, I struggle with this for years. You don't want anyone talking about what godly submission looks like. You don't want anyone talking about obedience. You know what? You want to maybe go, oh yeah, let's talk about obedience to God. Let's not talk about obedience to one another and revering those who are older than us, or those who are above us in the Lord. They don't like that stuff. And yet it's all through Scripture, because we're chained to something else, and that could break these chains. And praise God if it does, because as it does, our chains to Christ get stronger, because what you're chained to brings about a chain reaction in you. Maybe you're chained to pleasure. And so you think, oh, I really don't like those talks or those bits of the Bible that talk about sacrifice or suffering or seasons of challenge. You won't like the letter to Philippians, every single chapter, a celebration of suffering. Not because Paul's a masochist. This is a dude who is chained to Christ. And so for him to suffer for Christ, man, that's a chain reaction he can get on board with. Because he's not chained to pleasure. He's not chained to him. He's chained to Jesus. Maybe it's your ministry. I've done this. This could happen for you. This is a really tricky thing as you become invested in your ministry. Your ministry is not Jesus. Hopefully your ministry is for Jesus and for his people and not yet people. But if you're chained to your ministry, if that's your highest good, then you find yourself getting competitive with other ministries. Someone else's D team's going better than yours. That's really hard to celebrate, and you become that parent on the sideline, losing your mind because someone else is doing better. Thank you over there. And you even start to measure God's goodness or your worthiness based on how well the ministry is traveling. But if you're chained to Christ, if union with Christ and intimacy with him and being a disciple of him is your highest good, then you, like Paul, could sit in a prison cell celebrating the advance of the gospel. The advance of the gospel, as verses 15 to 18 talk about, on the lips of scoundrels. So Paul, highest chainsaw with Jesus, sits in his prison cell, celebrating that the gospel advances while he stays in chains. While the gospel advances while he stays in chains, and it advances at those who preach from false motives, who would seek to do him harm, who would want to damage him. Man, I can think of a million reasons to really get indignant at that point. But now for Paul, he's not chained to his personal good. He's not chained to having the best ministry in Philippi. He's chained to Jesus and the good news of Jesus being Lord of all, changing lives, rescuing people from hell for heaven, being the thing that goes out. And on the basis of being chained, bound, imprisoned, delightfully enslaved, rescued and united with Christ, comes the key transformative outcome for tonight. What I'm calling the chain reaction. But you saw that coming. The reason we can say when we partner with God, we live well, is expressed in verse 27. Because we're united with Christ, if that will be the thing, the one we are chained to, we're ready to read verse 27, which says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Quite literally, whatever happens, also translated, only this. This is the business. This is the chain reaction you're looking for, is what Paul would say if he was here, I reckon. No matter what, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now, there's a whole heap to be learned just from that word, conduct. Now, normally when Paul's talking about how we should live, he might use language like live this way, creative. Sometimes when Paul's talking about how we should live, he and many Jews before him would talk about how we should walk, and that's a regular pattern for Paul. He'll say, what's your walk? Sometimes Christians say to each other, how's your walk going? That's picked up from Paul. Here he doesn't use that language. Here he uses the language of citizenship. This conduct thing is about living like a citizen, which really would have resonated on the ears of the Philippians, many of whom were Roman citizens, quite a big deal at the time. You can read Paul on that in Acts. He says, live like a citizen worthily of the gospel. So he's not saying live in such a way that you might be saved because you are already a citizen. What does this worthy life look like? What does it look like to live like a citizen? Man, just live like you belong. Live like this is your space because you're a citizen. Live like a citizen of a gospel-shaped society. What do they look like? They are a people of massive assurance. Massive assurance, because the gospel is a message of assurance. The first gospel proclamation by the woman, Mary Magdalene, was, I think he's come out of the grave. It wasn't, I think he's come out of the grave. It was, he is risen. If the gospel is nothing else, it is a message of assurance for us. If you hear nothing else, I have no greater delight than telling people, probably because it's part of my own testimony, that when you trust Jesus, you have assurance, certainty on the last day, and even still certainty today that you are part of God's family. So living a worthy life, living as a citizen, looks like someone assured. It looks like someone who lives in the custom of the citizens. And being in the custom of the citizens of Christ's kingdom carries with it a responsibility. It means that saved people serve people. It means that found people find people. It means that forgiven people give. It means that called people follow. It means all of these things. There is a new life to be lived if you are united with the one who came out out of the grave and lives again. He has called us to live again with a kingdom responsibility. And part of the kingdom custom is we live like his people in obedience. We don't live like some other people. We are citizens, friends, of Christ's kingdom. So there is assurance, there is responsibility, and there's a way that we walk. And it's not the way we used to walk. Not so that we can become citizens, but because we are citizens. And so to live the life. Only this. Whatever happens, and I don't like whatever happens for this reason. I prefer only this, because this is not a reactive step. Sometimes when you say whatever happens, you're like, so whatever season comes to you, make sure you change your brain and do the God thing. This is a proactive step, not a reactive step, to walking every day as a saint in Christ Jesus and a slave of Christ Jesus, secure in his salvation and surrendered to his service. This is about making sure you are chained to Christ. See, if you want to get the chain reaction right, the whatever happens bit right, first focus on who you are chained to. First, invest all you got in cutting off the other junk and making Christ first in your life, just like Jesus does, just like Paul has. Because when you are chained to Christ, you, like Paul, can sit in jail, getting screwed over by preachers who are devious out in the world, and you can delight in the advance of the gospel. Because you're chained to Jesus, and you ain't chained to you. When you are chained to Christ, you will live a worthy life. You will live worthy, whether you're at Impact, and it's amazing, and everyone's encouraging you every day about how good Jesus is and wonderful it is. And you will live worthy 8 weeks later at home in your bedroom alone thinking, this all sucks, and where's the Jesus energy right now? But you're not united and chained to Impact. You're united and chained to Jesus, who is at Impact and who is in your bedroom. You will live worthy whether you win, lose, or draw. Our church goes, we had Bob served us really well telling us about what's coming up, and we're in a season where we must come before God and ask him, what is the sacrifice you are laying on my heart, Lord? But what if after this season we add up all the numbers and we don't make it? And St. Paul's that were really excited about expanding facilities and stuff didn't make it. Does that mean God's not good? Does that mean he didn't hear our prayer? Does that mean we suck as his people? Now, living worthy as citizens of the kingdom means we will say, perhaps God is saying, wait. We will pray and we will ask him, what next, Lord? How can you strengthen us to stay united with Christ? Because we only wanted a building because we're united with him. We were never united to an architect's plan. We will live lives that are worthy in prosperity and adversity. So like Paul does in Philippians 4, 12 to 13, we can say, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I used to read that and go, what's the secret? What's the secret? Such a bonehead. The secret is what I've been talking about. It's about being united with Christ. Being chained to him produces the chain reaction of being content, because he is your highest good. And he who started a good work in you will bring it to completion. He will not leave. We will live lives that are worthy of the gospel, like citizens in public when everyone's watching and you're on the platform, or when you're in private and no one knows. We will live lives that are worthy, that are assured, and of responsibility when it's fair and when the situations are unfair. We will live lives as worthy citizens when God seems to be running late, when God seems to be hard of hearing, or when God seems to be quiet in speech. In all of those seasons, if we are united with Christ, we can remain in assurance in the responsibility He has given us and in His service. We can live worthy when we're nailing life, and worthy when life is just nailing us. Worthy because of the one whose hands and feet were nailed for us. So tonight, as I've shared with you about these chain reactions, my encouragement is secure your reaction in every single season by first focusing on what or who you are chained to. Because it is not until you sever the chains that do not help and make regular investments in being chained and united with Christ, it's only then that you, like Paul, will live worthily of the gospel, whatever happens. God gives us His Spirit that we might achieve this, and so let me pray and ask that He strengthen us. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the wonderful example of our Lord Jesus. We thank You for His completed work in coming from the tomb and giving us a gospel that is of assurance. We thank You for His commissioning us as His disciples to be His witnesses. And so now, Lord, we pray, seeing Paul's example, that we might be chained to Christ, that our union with Him might overtake all other things, that He might be our greatest good in all things. We seek after Christ and chase after Him. So that, Father, in every season, whatever happens, we will be a people of assurance, and we will be a people of responsibility, and we will be a people who walk according to the custom of Christ's kingdom and not the darkness of the life we have left behind. We pray this in His name and for His glory. Amen.